I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, award-winning poet Nikki Giovanni talks about her latest work. But first, we're continuing our Thursday international briefing, and we're going to talk about the ongoing fighting in Gaza, but more to the point, the battle to win over public sympathy and support outside the Middle East. With the fighting going into its 20th day, ceasefire talks have begun, but Israeli troops are advancing into Gaza City. And as the fighting has gone on and the death toll has risen, advocates on both sides of the conflict have escalated a public relations offensive. But now, instead of relying on the major news outlets to get the news out of Gaza, many people are using the internet to tell their version of the story. And that means a lot of graphic and unfiltered images and video circulating through emails and sites like YouTube and iReport. We wanted to talk about the images of war, which pictures get to the viewing public and which don't. So we've decided to turn to one of our own experts, Keith Jenkins. He's the supervising senior producer for multimedia at NPR.org, and he's a veteran photojournalist. Before joining us here at NPR, he was the photography editor at the Washington Post. He's here with me in our D.C. studio. Welcome, Keith. Thanks for stopping in.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
You're charged with helping shape the editorial focus of NPR.org, and in that role, you've helped manage the presentation of stories about the Israel-Gaza conflict. And I assume you're seeing a lot of the same things I am. I mean, people sending you over the transom, as it were, you know, some very graphic images of the fighting, or what they say is are images from there. How do you decide what you use and what you don't? Do you have to have, say, an accredited photographer, somebody you personally know?
Well, it's interesting because I think to some extent the over-the-transom phenomena is slowing to some extent because so much of it is readily available, as you said, on the internet. You just have to go to sites and it's already there. We in the professional journalism community are still saddled in some ways with an ethic that says that we really do want to know the qualifications of the people that we are, you know, putting in our publications, whether it's online or in print or on television. But it's harder and harder to draw those distinctions. Who's accredited, who's not, who's worth trusting, who's not, are all becoming very, very gray areas in journalism.
Well, part of the problem also in this conflict is that the military has kept a lot of the journalists from accredited news organizations that we're all familiar with from entering the war zone.
And that's a phenomenon that we are seeing now in Gaza. And it's been a criticism of the war in Iraq to a large extent that a lot of it was mediated by the government, in this case the U.S. government, but access was mediated. And so what happens in virtually anything, if you're a gardener and you're you know, trying to keep the weeds out of your lawn, you find that you're back out there every afternoon doing the same thing. And that's what's happening in the media because the tools of producing journalism, especially visual journalism, are out there and are out there everywhere, and the internet makes access possible. So you may stem the weeds in one part of your lawn, but they're going to pop up everywhere else, and that's really what's going on right now.
Where are you getting your images from that you are willing to put on this website?
Well, we're dealing with traditional news organizations and agencies and getting our images. We have a photographer in the region, and so we're using a lot of the photography that he's producing. And that is, I think, the case for most major media outlets. The question is an access question, and right now very few organizations have access to Gaza, and they're using photographers based in Gaza, many of them who are Palestinians, to produce some of their imagery, and that's where a lot of the controversy is coming from now.
And what about the level of the graphic nature of some of the images that are coming out? What is your standard for deciding what to put on? And one of the reasons that this question engaged me is that I've been getting internet, you know, email attachments from people saying these are the pictures the mainstream media don't want you to see. And some of them are truly horrific. So what is your standard for deciding? I mean, the argument that's being made is this is censorship and it's political. What's your standard for deciding what to show?
I think there's a standard which most organizations have that's a combination of different things. And you know, we try to stick to the creed that you want to be informative, you want to get information out there, but the flip side of that is that you want to do no harm, you want to be respectful. And so we try to both be respectful of the victims and of the opinions, which are, you know, on both sides, and be fair and balanced, I guess, is the catchphrase in what we present. But we also don't want to shock our readers to the point, or shock our readers, our viewers, to the point where they turn off. And it's a delicate balance that you have to strike. Pictures of death, destruction, dying, do find their way into the mainstream medium, but they aren't the only thing that we try to use to tell the story. We really try to not have it be one-sided in terms of the visual presentation.
Well, the other thing is on the other side of it, there just simply has not been the same level of death in the current conflict. But we've also received images from people showing kids with camouflage uniforms on being trained evidently as suicide bombers. And we've gotten that from other organizations saying you're not showing this either. Why not? What's the answer there?
Well, I think that's exactly the point. I think the point is we can play on both sides, one against the other, or we try to walk a line in the middle where we present information that helps to balance us between both opinions.
And finally, Keith, very briefly, as a former photojournalist and photo editor, do you think that the power of images have grown stronger with the web or less because there are more options? Like, for example, there's this CNN has this iReport where you can post pretty much whatever you want. There are disclaimers, but they say it's unedited, unfiltered. What do you think?
Well, I think that, yes, the power of photography, the power of images is definitely growing exponentially because you've got access and you've got people in places where they've never been before with the ability to distribute that. And I think that's the thing we're going to be wrestling with for the next, you know, generation. How do we filter, and do we filter?
Keith Jenkins is supervising senior producer for multimedia at npr.org, where you can, of course, see the coverage that we are talking about. Keith, thank you so much for stopping by to talk to us.
Thank you.